This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Fort Washington Way plays a valuable transportation role by connecting I-71 and I-75, but it also separates Cincinnati from one of its greatest assets, the riverfront. When the highway was constructed, foundations were installed to allow four blocks of Washington Way to be covered by decks that would connect downtown with the banks and the riverfront. This Thursday, the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati and the Cincinnati chapter of the American Institute of Architects are holding a roundtable discussion, Healing the Divide, Restoring Our Connection to the Riverfront. And joining us to discuss the possibilities and challenges in covering Fort Washington Way are Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati Executive Director Steve Sendelbeck, Immersion Design Principal Chad Edwards, and Cooper Robertson, partner and project manager, Don Clinton. He was also the project manager for the last renovation of Fountain Square. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Don, Chad, and Steve, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to be here.
Chad, how long has the discussion been going on about covering Fort Washington Way? It seems like it's been decades since this whole thing started.
It has, actually. So George Hargraves, working with the city and others, developed the plan in the late 90s and instilled in that process were planning for the future. So this concept of bridging over the gap has been talked about since that time. And as it was constructed, the infrastructure to be able to do that is in there. So dollars have been spent already for the foundations for bridging over the gap. And then in 2007, there was a open call for anyone in the public to come to participate in a design charrette. It was a full-day experience that the local AIA chapter put on. And they brought in John Becker from Pennsylvania to help be the master facilitator, and then several local folks here helped facilitate small group sessions. And as I said, it was a full-day experience. And so it was nice to get a collection of various public and private folks to weigh in on what could be possible. And so that study is able to be found online. And so you can just continue looking at some of the conversation that has been occurred over the years.
Don, what are the benefits of capping Fort Washington Way? How would that help the city?
Well, the first amazing accomplishment is the creation of Fort Washington Way, which has submerged the highway and made it much more compact, and really created a pretty good streetscape on 2nd and 3rd and the streets that cross. But it's still a barrier, and it's noisy and windy, and for people who are in the sort of protected precincts of downtown streets with shops and restaurants, there's a kind of no man's land that they have to cross. And I think, you know, the opportunity of putting decks there is to, I think, have some continuity of the kind of lively street experience that the city's tried to foster downtown and connect to, you know, the banks, which is really in some ways the next downtown neighborhood. Already started, but lots of opportunity for more development already there.
So, Stephen, in layman's terms, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, wasted space to some extent?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's an opportunity for the city, the continuity of the urban core, to extend there. And to touch on Don's point, planners often talk about retail continuity in the design of cities. And if you're familiar with going to another city as a visitor, you walk down a street in a lively retail entertainment zone, and when that activity starts to die down, you don't go any further. If it looks like a residential area, you'll turn around and walk back rather than go maybe two more blocks and find more activity. So people need the visual cues to keep them moving from one area to another. And I think the divide that exists with the gap between the banks and the CBD does inhibit a lot of people from crossing over, and it's impacting the success of the bank's project and some of the facilities and entertainment venues that are down there.
So, Chad, if there are all these benefits, why hasn't something been done to this point? I
mean, oh boy, mostly due to money, and understanding the economic development potential that's there. As you can imagine, when we had our charrette in 2007, that wasn't a really great time for our economy, especially coming into 2008. And at that time as well, there were a lot of conversations about trying to get the banks and get that up and running. And so when you look at a city and how a city evolves over time, there's a lot of patience that needs to be applied. My wife is a photographer, and we joke all the time about how, and this isn't really fair to photographers, but she can push a button, whereas a planner has to wait 20, 30 years to realize the art that comes out of it. So sorry, Michelle, that's grossly undervaluing your abilities. But there's a lot of patience. There's a lot of public-private partnerships that need to develop, a lot of public input to make it successful. It'll get done. Well, it's just time.
There's also been a change in thinking from when the planning first started. The initial Hargrave study just looked at creating park-like areas that connected one side to the other on the top of these decks. And the first thing that happened is after all the park development on the riverfront, the Cincinnati Park Board came back and said, we don't need more to maintain in that area. So the original foundations that were put in would accommodate structures on top of these decks up to four stories. So people started rethinking this and not seeing it as all just parkland or plaza space, but actually the potential for development. So there's an opportunity to build buildings there that really visually connect the city from one side to another. And that, in turn, creates an opportunity for developers to invest in it and encourages the public-private partnership that's going to make this thing happen.
And Steve, just to help me get a picture of this in my mind, and for anybody who's not familiar with Fort Washington Way, it's between, 2nd and 3rd Streets. It runs parallel to 2nd and 3rd.
Right.
And then it connects I-71 on the east side of Cincinnati with I-75 on the west side.
Correct.
And then the stadiums are kind of like bookends on Fort Washington Way, if I'm picturing it correctly.
Correct.
Do I have that right?
Correct. And the roads coming in have major ramps to them. So they're actually dropping down coming into Fort Washington Way and then rising back up to connect to the bridges. So you have a section of Fort Washington Way that you couldn't deck over because there wouldn't be enough clearance if you kept it at the same level as the city. But these two whole blocks and two half blocks that are being proposed are at a point where you can get across there and still maintain clearance underneath.
Has there been any?
Go ahead, Don. Say that those north south streets are completely flat. There's no hill to climb. These are bridges only in sort of geography, but they don't constitute a barrier themselves.
Don, if anybody knows, has there been any discussion about what's going to happen when you start constructing this? Because that's a major artery through the city. So what's the talk there?
I don't think we've gotten that far yet. I think people appreciate what the benefits will be of decking it over, but the logistics of actually building this are something that will have to be tackled. I mean, when Fort Washington Way was rerouted, they maintained traffic through there during that construction, and they had to divert from one side to another to work on one side of the highway. I think they'd have to do something similar to that to do this. And the foundations that went in run right down the median, so they would have to come in and set columns in the center of the highway, but theoretically they could move the traffic from one side to the other and do half on one side and then half on the other.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Also, you can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So what makes this an opportune time to restart this discussion?
Well, I think there's enough interest that's being developed right now, and we're fortunate that Todd Portune has kind of taken this up as something he feels is really important for the city, that developing – this is the time to start looking at developing these decks. The city of Cincinnati has been behind it for some time. Well, they tried to do an international design competition in 2013, and they didn't want to use public funds to – fund the design competition. They were trying to raise the money to do it. I think they were looking for something like $250,000 to do this competition, and they weren't successful at raising the funds, but it showed their interest in making this happen. I think the fact that the Banks project is filling up in terms of the development area now says this is a good time to look at this additional expanded development opportunity across the highway.
Do we know how much it might cost? Do we have any estimates on what the whole project might cost at this point?
They're saying the decks are about $25 million a piece, and that's just the deck, the structure. That's not the developments on top of them. So, you know, we're looking at a significant amount of money to make it happen, but the potential is there for incredible development opportunities.
Okay. You mentioned, too, Steve, green space was one of the original ideas, one of the original thoughts for this decking area. Now we're looking at retail continuity. So what are we talking about putting buildings on top of this? What exactly would that entail?
The thoughts are that you do some sort of mixed-use development on the, as I said, there's two full blocks and two half blocks. The two half blocks and one of the full blocks would be constructed. It would be a mixed use, probably with a combination of retail entertainment facilities at street level with office or a combination of office and housing up above. Making that work financially is the challenge yet, mm-hmm. to figure out how to do that. But the other full block, in theory, would be another public plaza. And that's one of the things we're really interested in, too, is what that space could be, because it would be between Vine and Walnut, just as Fountain Square is, and it would be two blocks south of Fountain Square. So you don't want to create Fountain Square over again down on the riverfront. You want something different. And with the volume of housing that's been developed in the Banks area, we think it could start to take on its own character and have its own function.
Don, you are the project manager for the last renovation of Fountain Square. Are there any lessons from that project that you can apply to this potential project?
Well, I think one of the lessons is that the willingness to invest in something like this is the catalyst in itself for development. And what happened with Fountain Square is that even before the project was planned, it was under construction. But even before it was completed construction, restaurants and other entertainment venues started to sign leases and started to invest. The Fifth Third Bank invested in their building refurbishment and other buildings that are around Fountain Square. And their ground floors turned over completely with new uses and new leases. And that was almost on good faith. Here's a recognition that people are investing in downtown. It draws attention to it, and it really has that kind of catalytic effect even before the public space is created.
Now, Chad, you were saying when you worked on the studies earlier, that people were making suggestions on what they would like to see put on this space. What were some of the things that people were thinking about?
Well, it really kind of spanned the gamut. So there were some solutions that had full build. So the two full and the two half blocks were full of three, four-story building, very similar to what Steve had described, retail in the first, and at that time, most of the time they were proposing housing up above. There were other groups, other small groups, that decided that they wanted to have all of them be public space, and then there was a mixture of in between. The key to the public space is understanding who the constituents are, and then also being able to start to program that out to satisfy the needs of the constituents that would be using it. As Steve mentioned, there's some housing in the Banks that, you know, it could start to attract, as well as just the folks walking from downtown through this area down to the riverfront. So there's quite a wide range, but obviously we want to work in concert with both Fountain Square and with Washington Park, you know, and in the other major public spaces, so that it's not cannibalizing each other, but enhancing.
Was there any one suggestion, though, that got more support than others, or was it just so across the board that?
Well, we started to pull a few out that we thought might be more germane for today, and that's where we're focusing on one sort of plaza, open space area, one block. and then the other for development. And of course, we would need development partners to help us through that, to help us understand that. But if that public plaza could not just, if you think about that public plaza not just being designed for that park, but be designed for that part of the city, I think is really the pretty big key there. And so with the other blocks, you can begin to start to stretch that out a little bit. You could also begin to start to relate both to the river and to downtown.
Michelle in College Hill joins us now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. My comment is I wonder why they don't put the a convention center down there. It's in the middle of everything. The convention space we have now is hemmed in, and it would be perfectly placed for convention goers, and we could get bigger and better conventions, bringing more money into the city. And I'll take your reply off the air, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
I can answer that because I was involved in one of the expansions of the convention center. The area that's in consideration here is half the size of our current convention center if you take the two full blocks in the center of the development.
Yeah, because if I'm picturing it, it's kind of a narrow area anyhow.
Yeah.
It's not that wide.
Typical city blocks are about 400 feet on a side, and it's about 200 feet across Fort Washington Way now. So they were able to narrow the gap that was created by the original Fort Washington Way and make it more compact. But if we put another convention center building there in that location, it wouldn't have as much space as they currently have, and they're landlocked now. They need to find ways to grow beyond what they have.
Steve, how realistic is it in the current environment where we're talking about the federal government making cuts to the budget? How realistic is it to think that funding for this project would become available anytime soon?
Well, since infrastructure development is an important consideration on the part of the Trump administration, I think you can make the argument that this is part of—
You think this could be part of the trillion-dollar infrastructure plan?
Well, that trillion probably won't go very far, but but it could potentially— there could potentially be federal support for this.
So how likely do you think this project ever gets off the ground?
We think it's highly likely. We think there's enough interest and momentum in this direction that there's speculation that within the next 5 years we could see the first deck being built.
Yeah, Don, same feeling with you, Don?
Yeah, I think an interesting point was made that, when 2007 was not a good time when, the first thoughts about this occurred. There's been a long gap. When at Fountain Square, we were able to complete it and have it open and in operation for a couple of years before the recession started. I think these things are cyclical, and Cincinnati is a certain size and can grow at a certain rate. So I think the banks, which was just being talked about at the time that we did Fountain Square back in 2004, 2005, it was a plan. A big part of it's been implemented, but it can only grow at a certain rate. So I mean, one thing about the decking is it can occur in segments also. I mean, it really feels like something where I think Chad said, patience is a virtue when you're building cities. It's just something, you need to sort of keep your eye on the ball and try to make things happen over the long term. And I think Cincinnati's been really good at that.
Well, Chad, Don, and Steve, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati Executive Director Steve Sendelbeck, Immersion Design Principal Chad Edwards, and Cooper Robertson Partner and Project Manager Don Clinton. A roundtable discussion on the potential for decking over Fort Washington Way is going to be held this Thursday from 4:30 to 6:30 in the afternoon at the offices of Graydon, 312 Walnut Street, Suite 1800. And the event is free, but registration is required. And there's a link to more information on that at wvxu.org.